For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday evening service of September the 2nd, 1989. Tape number 7B of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chip Hill is the teacher for the evening.
And he might have great gifting as an orator, but is there anointing there? There are great prophets, old prophets. You know, the prophetic is being restored to the church, and I love it. But I'll tell you, there's an awful lot of faults coming with it. And they'll come in and they'll wow you. They'll come in and impress you with their ability to walk out into the midst of a crowd and point somebody out and read their mail and tell them things about them that they didn't know that anybody knew. And move on people in such a mighty way, and they're so gifted. See, I've been through this already. We've had that. That's right. A form of witchcraft. We had that come in and just about destroyed it. Great gifting. But see, Jesus didn't say you'll know them by their gifting. He said their fruit. And you know what? He's not talking about the fruit of you people being saved here, people having their mail read here, somebody getting baptized in the Holy Spirit here. You might look at me and say, he's got fruit in his ministry. I don't consider the things that we do here, you know, you being set free or anything like that. I don't look at that as the fruit. You know what the real fruit to me is? Love, joy, peace, kindness, humility, long-suffering with one another. A lot of these people that are just accepted on their great gifting, they'll cut you off in a minute if you don't see things their way. They're just unkind. And I'll tell you something else. Most people out there in the world are not offended at the gospel. They're offended at you. You need to be kind. You need to be careful how you carry this precious, precious glory and anointing in your vessel. So David rises up and he says this. Or Amasai, I guess that's how you pronounce it. Amasai, his name. Then the Spirit, oh, praise God. Then the Spirit came upon him, who was chief of the captains, and he said, David, we're yours. What a commitment under the unction of the Holy Ghost. He said, David, we're yours. That would be like me if God told me to move here. And moved on me to move here to be a part of this camp and to live here and work with Brother Glenn. That would be like me coming and saying, Brother Glenn, I feel like the Lord wants me to come here and assist you. And it would be like him saying, well, are you really coming for me or are you trying to build a ministry? And it would be like me saying, Brother, I'm at your disposal. I see God in you, and I believe that the Lord's sending me here truly in humility to serve you in whatever way the Lord wants me to serve you. And you'll tell me. And if you want me to wash dishes and sweep the floor, clean toilets, I'll do it. And if I have to do it the rest of my life, I'll do it because I know that's what God wants me to do. That's what leaders are looking for. They're not looking for another great gift to come in who can preach and prophesy and lay hands on the sick and all that. I want people to do that, but not in church. I want them to get out there in the streets and in the byways and the highways and the neighborhoods and set people free. That's where it needs to be done. Amen. Okay. So now we move on. Are you still with me? What time is it going to be? Okay, we got a few more minutes. Okay? All right. Verse 19. Oh, incidentally, these wonderful men who said, David, we're yours, they were God, but they came under the proper authority that God led them to, a man who they could trust. And you know what David did? He made them the leaders of his raiding party. It says there at the end of verse 18, and David received them and made them captains of the band. But the NIV says he made them leaders of his raiding band. Praise God. Men he could trust to take a group of men out. These men were kingdom commandos all the way. They went out into enemy territory, behind enemy lines, for the purpose of infiltration, demolition, sabotage, and reconnaissance. They spied on the enemy. They destroyed his fort. They attacked him when he least expected it. They set captives free. These men were maulers. Praise God. And it all happened because they could be trusted. Their motives were pure. He made them leaders of his raiding band. All right, verse 19. And there fell, or there defected to David some from Manasseh when he came with the Philistines against Saul the battle. But they helped them not, for the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement, sent him away, saying, he will fall to his master Saul to the jeopardy of our head. That's something else. As he went to Ziklag, there fell to him of Manasseh, and then it gives some names of some people, and I don't want to try to read them all, but these were captains of thousands that were of Manasseh. Now look at verse 21. And they helped David against the band of the rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains of the host. These men were trustworthy, and they were able to help David against the raiding band. Help David against the raiding band. These were men of defense. The Lord is looking for men to set in ministries that will be men of defense. Loyalty, let me tell you something about loyalty. Loyalty will defend when defense is lonely, and will support when support is costly. One of the biggest problems I've had through the years is finding, is getting loyal men and women. If somebody comes to a loyal man and says, let me tell you something, I see Chip doing wrong. It's just really bothering me. That loyal man will say, shut your mouth right now. Let's go to Chip. Instead of talking about him behind his back, let's go to Chip. A loyal man who will defend, like these men were able to defend King David. He could trust them to defend him. They wouldn't take gossip. Derek Prince told somebody one time, he said, a woman who was starting to pour out a bunch of gossip. He said, sister, he said, do my ears look like garbage tails? He said, I don't want to hear any more. Whenever someone rises up to cut down one of your brothers and sisters, and primarily one of your leaders, don't you entertain it. You take that person. Even if you have to do it kicking and squalling, you take them to the leader. Don't let them cut down your leader. That's not profitable for you. David could trust these people to defend him. Look at verse 22. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. Now look at verse 32. We're getting down to another group. We don't have too much further to go. And then I'm going to have Darlene share a dream with you that she had. Then we're going to pray for you. Verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. All right? The army of God, here's something about the army of God. They're like the sons of Issachar, or the children of Issachar. What was special about them? They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. This means that we as the church, as members of the army of God, we must be on top of changing world situations. We must understand the times that we live in. We must be in step with changing trends. We must not be laying back here in a dark cave somewhere like Elijah did, hiding, sticking our heads in the sand. We need to be on top of what's happening. There's nothing wrong with having newspapers and magazines in your house to tell you what's happening in the world. As a matter of fact, I like to have the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other. Why? Because I interpret current events in the light of the Word of God. But if I don't know about current events, I can't interpret it in anything. I need to know what's going on out there. I saw the distorted, demon-vexed and oppressed face of poor brother Jim Baker. So what? He blew it. He who is here who hasn't sinned, cast the first stone. Maybe you didn't sleep with a prostitute, but I guarantee you've looked at him before with lust in your eyes. And some of you women, I'll get you too. You've watched Dynasty and Falcon Crest and Knock Landing and Dallas, and you've lusted at some of those hunks of a man. And you're just as guilty of fantasy that women go through is just as bad as some man looking at a Playboy magazine. Women who look at those soap operas are just as guilty as me if I got a penthouse and opened it up and had King Kong eyes over that woman. You ever see the movie King Kong, how he's got the blonde in his hand and he's just undressing her, mentally undressing her? I've seen men like that by the scores. But you know something? I've seen those women hiding behind those TV screens watching the soap opera and romance novels. You got romance novels in your home, sister, you better get rid of it. It's just as much of the occult as a Ouija board, in my opinion. Romance novels. Oh, they make me sick. See, we always get after the man for lust, and Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And the women say, yeah, that's right. But the women are going home watching soap operas and reading those romance novels. They're just as guilty as the men. So I get on everybody. Because Jesus does. He wants to straighten you up. He's not mean to you. He loves you. He's telling you this stuff because he's telling you because he knows it'll kill you. It'll keep you out of the army of God. It'll keep you out of the remnant. You want to be a part of the remnant? And you need to... I can't say it all enough, Sister Irma. I just can't get it all in. I wish I talked like that fellow on the TV commercial. I wish I could talk that way, that fast, and you understand it. The guy who can read so fast. Okay. We need to be on top of the world situation. We need to know what to do politically, educationally, financially, socially, and militarily. We need to understand, we are a military unit, not with guns and weapons of war in the natural, but with the weapons of God. We are a military unit. We're very political, too. We're a political unit. We are a kingdom, but we're political. Amen. We need to know what's going on. We need to be like the sons of Issachar and know what Israel, know what the church ought to do. We need to know right now more than ever before, what does the church do in the light of all of the stuff the media is bringing at us? There's a prophet named Rick Joyner who just prophesied to the nation through James Robinson's ministry that we are coming into a time right now when the enemy, through the media, is going to attack the body of Christ, attack ministry, attack ministers of God, accusing them of all sorts of things. And he says most of it won't be true, but it's going to seem like all the facts support the lie of the media. And I want to tell you, the media, Tom Brokaw and all of the media and all of Dan Rather and everything, the media in this country is the tool of witchcraft. Because they manipulate world opinion. They tell people what to believe. That's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. That's one of the main tools of the spirit of Jezebel over this country. And I'll tell you something else. Jezebel's the chief spirit over this country. It's the main one. Now, I better watch myself now. Because I'll get off on that and I won't finish up. But I'm telling you that. Man. Jezebel's got all sorts of tools. It's got people in... This spirit's got people in religion, in charismatic churches, but it's got the media. It's got the National Organization of Witches. Do you like that, brother? I love them. Oh, Lord, save them. But I cannot stand by. I can't stand by and be sweet and nice. We've been too nice long enough. You know, who said we have to stay out of this stuff? Who says we can't open our mouths and decry sin? And call a spade a spade? Who says we can't get out there like Elijah did and defy 450 prophets of Baal? Who says we can't get out there with our book against their book? I tell you, in the days we're coming into right now, it's going to be a battle between our book and their book. You know, this. There's a woman out in California. I guess she's still out there. If she's not there, there are 1,000 others who filled her place. But she's a channel for a demon spirit who names himself Rampha. And her name is Jay-Z Knight. And she's a public figure, so I can say her name legally. And I saw this on a TV documentary show a couple years ago. And she's got this, she said a number of years ago this spirit appeared to her. And he said, my name is Rampha, and I'm 35,000 years old, and I'm a warrior from the lost continent of Atlantis. And she bought it hook, line, and sinker, allowed that thing inside of her, and now she makes hundreds, even thousands of dollars on weekends holding seminars where all of the elite of Hollywood go and sit there and listen to the vain babblings and peepings of a wizard. And they sit there, and she gives counterfeit words of knowledge and wisdom to them and tells them things and gets them crying and just opens them up to demons and all of that. And she's going around on American people doing this thing. And you know what we need to do? Some of us kingdom commandos need to infiltrate some of those meetings and go in there and sit in the back and holla my thunder, suck my thunder, I bind you, devil, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not deceive these people. Just go in there and run interference on that demon and bind him up and shut his big stinking mouth. He ain't Rampha. He's a defeated imp, and he's going to go to the lake of fire and burn there forever and ever in fire and brimstone and be tormented. That's who he is. And we need to start running interference. We need to go to some of these communist rally meetings on our campuses and run interference on that demon too, that communist demon. That's a strong man. That's one of the five ruling spirits over the world is atheistic communism. But we've been sitting in our living rooms watching Dallas. We've been sitting in our living rooms watching the 700 Club, hearing about what we ought to do but not doing it. Where are all those precious people that watched Jim and Tammy for so many years and poured thousands upon millions of dollars into that ministry so that Jim and Tammy could do the work of saving souls and they could sit home and watch it? Where are those people now? They weren't equipped and prepared to do anything, and most of them have turned cold on Christianity, and they're no longer with us. They'll not be a part of the remnant because they backed out. They saw a war, and they fled back to Egypt. So, we need to stay on top of what's going on in the world. We can't be ignorant. Verse 33, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle. When's the last time you went forth to battle? When's the last time you went down to the city dump, to those houses and people down there, and took them a loaf of bread and the gospel? When's the last time you went to the hospital to pray for the sick? When's the last time you took somebody to church? When's the last time you handed out a tract? I encourage every one of you to get busy this month and write your personal testimony tract. And have it done. If it costs you money to have it printed, print it. Carry them with you all the time. You can always hand somebody your tract. And an encounter on the road of life with some precious soul Jesus died for won't be lost. As it is now, it's lost. You can't say anything to them. You leave them, you'll never see them again. But if you say, hey, before I leave, I'd like to hand you something. It's my story. They'll read it because they're interested in who you are. I've had guys get saved that way. A number of guys. I pass out tracts like it's going out of style sometimes. God will give you opportunities to pass them out, too. And my personal testimony tract, they'd much rather read than some old tract that says something else. Because they're curious. We're just curious. People are curious. They're nosy. Okay. So these Zebulun guys, they were expert in war. Expert in war. With all instruments of war. We need to know all instruments of war. All the instruments that Jesus has made available to the body of Christ, we must know. 50,000 which could keep rank. Oh, keep rank. They were not of double heart. Did you know it's important that we keep rank? Because you know something? A mob is no match for an army. The church in America has been nothing more than a mob. We need to learn how to keep rank. And when God shows you where He wants you to march, you march there. Even if every pressure in the world comes to get you out of it, you stay in rank. Don't be a part of a mob. And they were not of double heart. Look at verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank, there it is again. Oh, that's so important, that could keep rank. They're not elbowing each other. Get out of my way so I can get up there and be seen in the limelight. There, I could spend hours on that. Stories things I've seen, and I'm sure I could have others of you share some things you've seen. But I tell you what, often when we're busy pointing at other people, we've got three fingers pointing right back at us. We've all been guilty. We need to keep rank, folks. It's time for us to stop jostling for position. Stepping on each other. Let's just be who we are and who God made us and do that as best as we can. And let's let our gifts and our ministries complement one another. Okay? All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart. Come to God and Jesus and this army with a perfect heart. The Hebrews. To make David king over all Israel. That's the purpose. We want to make Jesus king over all the earth. Amen? We want to make Jesus king over all the earth. He's shown us how we do that. He showed us right here how we do that. Now let's do it. Now I've got an anointing. And I'm not saying that in pride. I'm just telling you, if I know something's true, I'm going to tell you. And God will confirm it. Or He won't. And if He doesn't confirm it, then I lied. And if I lied, then the Lord will let me know. And I'll stop saying it. But I've got an anointing to lay hands on the body of Christ across this nation and across the world, whenever I get a chance, and see God by His Spirit take something that He's built within me, which is a violent kingdom commando mentality and resolve, as I lay hands on the people of God, and they believe God for it, and I believe God for this, God transfers. He doesn't take it away from me. See, he's got an unending fountain. And, you know, he didn't take it from me and give it to you. But God will share, that's what I'm trying to say, he will share that anointing with you if you'll receive it, so that you can be violent. Some of you haven't taken enough action in your life. You need to be men of action and women of action. You need to get going. You need to be stirred up. You need an anointing to be a kingdom commander. I've got that anointing. I lay hands on you. God will give it to you if you want it and if you'll go walk in it. Darlene as well has that anointing. We have that anointing together. We were just in Africa last year, and we laid hands on a whole tent load of Kenyans after she shared this dream she's going to share right now. And the power of God hit those Kenyans, and by the time the meeting was over, they were everywhere, all over that tent, mowed down like somebody came in with an invisible machine gun. They were prophesying. Demons were coming out of them. They were praying in the spirit. They were... One brother named Douglas, who's probably the greatest prayer warrior in Jonah Badan's church in Eldoret, Kenya, he was out for 5 hours, and when he came to, the meeting was over, everybody was gone, and the next day he told the brothers, he said, "I saw things in the spirit I cannot describe or explain." God caught him up. So what we want to do is we just want to simply, because we love you and we feel like God wants us to help equip you to do the great exploits that need to be done. For God's glory and in the name of Jesus, we will lay hands on you and believe him to give you something. If there's anything in us that's valuable to you, and we know it's the Holy Spirit there, he can do it, then we want to share it with you, that's all. Okay? You're not going to get any demons or anything like that. You know, the Bible says lay hands suddenly on no man, and this is not something that I do all the time, but this is when God tells me to, I'll do it. And I believe it's something that you can receive. To make you more violent, more militant, more resolved to go and do the work of the ministry and set captives free. Darling, come share that dream quickly, honey.
A while back, I had a dream. I told the lady some of it. We went to bed one night, and I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was shaking all over, and I'm not a shaking person. You know, I don't faint, don't shake, don't do stuff like that.
And she doesn't dream.
I don't dream.
She doesn't even have dreams.
Usually I just go to sleep and, you know, I'm out. So anyway, I woke up with this dream that I was shaking all over. And I was scared. I mean, I was really scared. And the first thing I thought is, oh no, it's a demon of fear. Trying to get in here and jump on me while I'm asleep, you know. And I started coming against the spirit of fear and it didn't leave. And I realized that it wasn't a spirit of fear, but it was the fear of God. And I also realized something else, that there were angels crammed into our bedroom. They were jam-packed in that bedroom. And, of course, Chip's still asleep, you know, and I'm shaking like anything. And I wake him up, and I said, "Boy, did I have a dream." And I started telling him this dream. And in this dream, we had 3 bottles. We had an apron on. And there were 3 pockets in that apron. And each bottle went in one of those pockets. And each bottle was a different shape, but they all contained the same thing. It was a greenish, thick liquid. It was emanating. Waves of power was just flowing off of these three bottles. We had an assignment to take these bottles somewhere. I didn't know where, but the assignment was to go. The enemy is coming. I need these bottles to go to this particular place. You take them, and you show people why you're taking them. While you're going there, you show them to people. So we took off down the road. We were going to stop at a neighbor's house and show them this bottle, and we just didn't feel like that was right. Then we came to a little grocery store, marched inside with these bottles. I mean, here we had these bottles. The power of God was flowing off these bottles. Marched into the grocery store and held out these 3 bottles and said, "Look, look." And the power of God jumped off those bottles. There was a blind girl in there with her husband. He was buying beer. She was holding on to his arm, had a little white cane stuffed underneath her arm. And the power of God jumped off those bottles, flew her eyes open, healed her right then. Her husband jerked up and looked down at the beer, you know. He said, "Well, I don't want this." You know, and Debbie's shouting, "I'm healed, I can see." And the people in the little grocery store started coming up, and they started having revival. They started repenting and crying out to God, and demons started coming out. They started prophesying. Well, it got so many people in that little grocery store, we had to go out to the blacktop area in the parking lot. More people started coming, more and more and more, and they were repenting and crying out to God. Now, all these people were white. The power of God was hitting them. Now, I say this for anyone here that has black heritage. This is for you. This is to boost your faith. Three black men came. They were very intimidating, very aggressive, very awesome black men. They came across with the attitude of, I could pull your head off your shoulders and chew you up. They came close, and the only thing we could do was hold out the bottles. And we said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Well, the power of God jumped off those bottles onto those three black men. Knocked them back 10 feet at least. Bam! Onto the blacktop, they even bounced. The power of God hit them. They opened their eyes. Lightning was coming out of their eyes. They started prophesying, preaching, casting demons out. In the meantime, everybody that's on that blacktopped area is experiencing the power of God for whatever they needed. They are getting excited. They are receiving an anointing, a determination that this is my God and I will serve Him. He's my master. He's my king. And anyway, to make a long dream short, when I was telling Chip this dream, we realized that it's not us. Okay? Not us. But God has given us these three bottles. We see it everywhere we go. You know? We see it. We've seen the anointing God has given us. And it is for you. And it's also a special anointing for the black race. That's why in Africa, they look like they've been mowed down. Well, they had been mowed down. But also, it's for the people in America. It's for you people that need to be violent and zealous and aggressive for God. Not to puff up your old stupid ego and get you out there with the ministry. It's not. It's to make you available no matter what. So, we have this anointing, and we want to share it with you because that's what God told us to do. And if you will receive by faith, if you will prepare yourself, that's why I told you this dream, that it would build your faith. Okay? If you will prepare yourself to receive by faith, God will put these three bottles of anointing. It was called Bnei Berith. It's the covenant-keeping power and anointing of God. He will put it on you, and you'll have it too. And then you can go put it on somebody else.
When we had the dream, when she had the dream, and the bottles were labeled Bnei Berith, we had no idea what that meant. So we called Helen.
Yes.
And Helen, being the Bible student and digger that she was in the Word, Helen called us back, and she said that has to do with the covenant of God. And she says, I believe it's the name of the Israeli or the Jewish defense league. We didn't know that. All we know is that those bottles contain the anointing of God, and that we were commissioned to take that to whomever would receive it.
I have such a love and such a heart for the black race. When we go to Africa, those people have not been charismatically taught to fall when you pray for them. In America, I like to make people stand there. I don't like them falling. Because if they fall, a lot of times, you're not finished ministering to them. Now, if God knocks them down, that's fine. But in Africa, they haven't been taught that. And yet, God mowed down every one of them, even many before we could even touch them. Now, we are believing God to give us, to open up the doors for us to begin to minister to the black race in America. You pray for us. I just had an apostle from Georgia call me
who read the book and he wants me to come minister. I don't know. He's got a spiritual warfare school and he asked me to come minister. I don't know anything about other than that. But I'm saying, Lord, is this the beginning? For years we've longed for avenues into the black community in this country. They have missed, by and large, they've missed a lot of the things that God has been doing. Not because we're better. I don't know why. But I'll tell you one thing, they are going to be on the forefront of what God's doing in these last days. And I believe that the Lord has given Darlene and me a special anointing and love for them. And I want you to be praying for us. But white people, too, in this country were a part of that dream. They were the first. And when we lay hands on you, we're not going to pray. We're not going to pray for you. I'm going to pray right here in a minute. And then when we lay hands on you, that's it. We're just going to pray for you. You just come up, receive by faith, and that's it. Don't hang around. I'm not going to pray for you. Don't ask me to cast out demons. Don't ask me to pray for your old Aunt Susan. Don't ask me to lay hands on the sick. I'm not going to do it. This is strictly for an anointing to go and do the work of the army of God. Okay? As soon as we pray for you, go back to your seat. This is the way the Lord has us. This has instructed us to do it. Darlene and me will stand right here. And I want everybody who wants this, who can believe God for it, I want you to come up, get in line, come up, we'll pray for you, go right to your seat. If God does something for you, fine. You don't need to go back to your seat. Maybe you won't be able to. But I don't want to psychologically get you geared up to come up here and fall down. I want you to receive from God. You can do that without falling. If he knocks you down, okay. But let's just go ahead and receive from God by faith. Okay? Amen. Amen. I would like a piano player. I would like a piano player to come and play some soft, quiet music. No singing. I just want the accompaniment of a piano player. Is there anyone that can do that? Just a quiet, beautiful song of praise. Maybe the theme song of this tent. Just quietly playing. And I want you, as you feel God is telling you to come forward for this, you come up and stand in front of us, we'll simply pray for you. Not even pray, we'll touch you. And we're just going to believe God to impart to you that which is going to make you a stronger Christian. Amen. Lord Jesus, before I lay hands on anybody, before Darlene lays hands on anybody, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, we're simply asking you to do what you want to do. I bind the devil, I bind every principality and power and every demon spirit that would seek in any way to interfere with this ministry. You will not come up here and cause trouble in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we're looking to you. We want you right now to be Lord over the church so that Jesus might be truly Lord in the church. In the name of Jesus, and Lord over it. Holy Spirit, we want you to just do what you want to do. You are God. You are the power of God. You are the anointing of God. And we're asking you as these dear, dear people that you love so dearly, that Jesus died for, as they come up here, Lord, I'm asking you to impart to them that which they need to go do the work of the ministry. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of, receive it, brother. In the name of Jesus. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. Go be a seat. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Receive it, brother. Receive that anointing in Jesus' name. Just receive by faith. Receive by faith. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you that they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Hallelujah. Receive that. Receive that, my dear sister, in Jesus' name. Receive that anointing by faith. By faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, impart that to him, Lord. Impart that to this couple, this precious, precious couple. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord's going to make you a light in your community. It's time to open your mouth and begin to speak forth boldly and see yourself used as someone to set the captives free in your area. You need to get involved with the Christians. Somehow. In the name of Jesus. God will show you what to do. Impart that to him, Lord. Impart that. Impart that strength, that anointing, Lord. That good man, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we're just asking you to impart that to our sister. Receive, sister, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive, sister. You've got a sweet spirit. You've got a wonderfully sweet spirit. God's going to make a tiger out of you. Praise God. A lion out of you. In the name of Jesus. You've been told that it's too late. And you've been told that it's too late for you to make a difference, but that's a lie of the enemy. You go forth in Jesus' name. You've got the anointing. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank God. Oh, Lord. Lord, impart that to my brother, Lord, my precious brother. Oh, Lord God, impart that kingdom commando resolve and mentality and violence, Lord, that he needs to continue doing that which he's already doing and make it stronger, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Handmaiden of the Lord. Praise God. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, impart it to her, Father. That's right. That's right. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Receive, sister. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive that anointing. To go do the greater. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Bless it. Bless it. Thank you, Jesus. Receive, brother. Receive that anointing. Receive it. You've only just begun. You've only just begun. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. In the name of Jesus. God's going to reward your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus. In mighty ways. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Bless God. Bless God. It's all, Holy Ghost is all over us. Say it. The Holy Ghost is all over us. That's right. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive, y'all. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord. Praise God. Holy Ghost. That's the joy of the Lord. That's the joy of the Lord. Now, brother Bill's got it. The Holy Ghost. It's good. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Praise God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, everybody laugh. It's fun. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost just comes on you and you laugh. Sometimes you don't know why you're laughing. It's just he wants to laugh in you. He's laughing. He's happy. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can sit down if you can. Praise God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of this brother and sister. Lord, I'm asking you to impart to them more of what they need to be the warriors of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to impart to this brother, in the name of Jesus, what he needs to go forth and be a mighty man of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Change his life, Lord, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this precious, precious couple. We're asking you, Lord, now to impart it for them. Impart it into them, Lord, that resolve in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. These are worshipers. Worshipers. Lord, a greater anointing to worship, because it's as we worship and praise you that we bind their nobles with fetters of iron in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Keep it up, brother. I've seen you on your knees. I've seen you on your knees just worshiping Jesus. When you do that, it binds up devils. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for both of them. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, impart to our sisters, Lord, kingdom commando mentality and resolve to do the work that Jesus wants us all to be doing. Set the captives free. Amen.
Think about
We have enjoyed worship during the meetings. We're just having a good time. And I think everybody can tell what the favorite song is around here. That's the one where Brother Bill marched down the aisle. And you know, he wasn't just doing that for any old reason. It was a specific reason that he came marching down that aisle. Because when he was getting to the part where our God does not change, he was banking on that. That God is still the healer that he's always been, because he had just been attacked physically, and he was coming down the aisle and he was just declaring it to the world that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's, you know, our God, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. And he was just testifying to his healing, and he's healed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And you know, I had just had to do that a little bit before. I got Darlene to pray for me back there because I was under attack. Satan's a little bit nervous about what's happening here and what's going to continue to happen. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is a song that's a favorite around our place. It's been for a couple of years, and it might be a little bit different to you, but you listen to us. We'll sing it as best we can, and then you're welcome to join us, okay? It's called Make His Praise Great. Because that's what we are to do, is make His praise great. Yeah, you can play the tambourine. Stand up let the people in the front row sit down and the people in the back row stand up so that everybody can see. And clap your hands and just do your best, okay? It's the kind of song that has to grow on you, but once you get it in your spirit, you go wild with it. Oh, we just... Yeah, because that's what we're to make His praise glorious. And you know, He's our honored guest here. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is here with us. It's not just some human being coming here. It's Jesus is with us. I'm trying to find a little more treble, brother.
A little more treble. Okay, now you're going to get your hands together. Darling, you just get them on the beat, huh? Come be our honor, yes.
There is no one like you.
And he has commissioned you, and he's commissioned me. He commissioned an army to go forth and to conquer the devil wherever he's found.
Amen.
Amen? And you know, I know, I had almost a vision. You know, I'll say it was an impression. One time not long ago, I saw the Lord scooting up to the edge of the sea. And he was looking at the Father. And he's looking and he's watching what's happening and he's saying, "Can I go now?" He's ready. He's ready. He's wanting to come. You know, he's not willing that any should perish. But oh, he loves you so much. And one of these days, the one that we've sung about, the one we've preached about, the one we have written about, the ones we have told everybody about, one day we're gonna see him face to face. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.